Parsha Chayisara is known for the parsha wherein Avinu sends his servant Eliezer to find a wife for Yitzchak Avinu and does that famous tefillah, that famous prayer, that the girl whom I ask that should offer me a drink, and not only offers me a drink, but my camels a drink as well, this is the one you have shown to be the one worthy for my son. Three questions that I'd like to ask, two very general, one very specific on this parsha, on this particular story. The first very general question is one that the Anei Yisrael is quoting from our rabbis in source number 2 and notes. The Torah devotes 63 psukim to discussing every detail of Eliezer's search for Yitzchak Avinu's bride. Initial glance reveals the story of Rivka at the well to have been repeated twice, once when it happened, and a second time when Eliezer relates the events to Lavan and Bethuel. But a more careful examination of the psukim reveals the accounts have been really related four times. Both at the well and in Bethuel's house, the stories were counted twice. On each occasion, the Torah tells us of the prayer that Eliezer uttered, and then relates how the events unfolded, which transpired exactly according to how he envisioned them in his prayer. Therefore, Chazal note the Torah's departure from its usual brevity with this famous expression, better are the words of the servants of the patriarchs than the Torah of their children. For the episode of Eliezer was related and repeated many times, while many basic Torah precepts are only hinted at. Question number one is, how do we understand this Ma'amar Chazal of Yofes Yichosan Shalav Deyavot Mitorasam Shalbani? What are we to learn from this Maimer? What is the Maimer trying to teach us? How are we supposed to, in our own lives, be able, sitting in shul, listening to these 64 psukim, what are we supposed to gain? What message is the Torah trying to teach us? That, my friend, is question one. Question two is, we know that the test that Eliezer sets up for Rivka is a test of chesed. The Mefarshim ask a very basic question. Perhaps she was really a balos chesed. Perhaps she was ready, or she was a person who was ready to give over her water. As one of the Mefarish says, we'll see soon, Zenen evzalo chaser, she already has the kad, the pitcher on her shoulder, so she'll pour some out for him. Does that show that she's ra'ui to be in the house of Avraham Avinu? Okay, it shows us she's not a bastom, where she's not stingy. But is it enough just to look for one midah, and from that one midah, we know that she's ra'ui to be one of our imams, one of these great women matriarchs, whose chus we use until today? Why was this a sufficient test? That's question number two. Question number three is a very technical question. It's a very interesting medrash. If we look at the text, which is source 24a, the Torah tells us in verse 19, when she finished giving him drink, she said, I will draw water even for your camels until they have finished drinking. So she hurried and emptied her jug into the trough and kept running to the well to draw water, and she drew for all the camels. This is what we find, that the process of drawing water for all the camels, that she mamish had a lishov mayim, she had to draw water. But it's interesting that when she comes to the well for the first time, and this is in source number 16, the Torah tells us, the underlying part, she descended to the spring, filled her jug, and ascended. And here, on Vata'al, and ascended, the Medrash tells us in source number 1, the Medrash interprets the ascent of this phrase as a reference, that's not as a reference to Rivka, but to the water. Rendering, she filled her jug and the water ascended to meet her. So great was her virtue that the water rose to greet Rivka Imenu. Because it doesn't say Vatishav, that she drew the water, but rather the Torah emphasized Vatal, it lift came up. So says the Medrash that when she came to draw water for herself, she didn't need to actually draw the water. Yes, for the camel she drew the water, but for herself, the water came greeting her. It rose to her. You know, there's a famous principle that no miracle happens for naught. There's obviously a lesson to be learned. And obviously from every Midrash it's teaching us, world, what can we learn for our life? From the small Midrash that the water came to greet her, when Rivka Imenu came to get water from the well. Three questions. How do we understand repetition of the parasha? Why was the litmus test of chesed enough of a test? And the third question, what do we learn from the Midrash that the water came to greet her? I'd like to understand this section really on two levels. The first level with the 1A and 1B, and then level 2. Level number 1 will begin with a very, very powerful insight. The way the Rav Wolbe in Shirei Chumash understands this concept of Sichaton Shel Adei Avot, the conversations of the servants of our forefathers. He says this in source number 3 is Dibur B'Derech Eretz. This is learning how to speak appropriately. Shibasicha Mitkalet HaMidot V'Derech Eretz Shel Medaber. Why do we have it repeated so often? Because we learn from Eliezer, who's the Eved of Avraham Avinu, how to talk appropriately. All the Ma'asim of Eliezer, how he spoke, our Hilchos B'Derech Eretz, is teaching us what it means to be a mensch, what it means to be a person who's sensitive to other people's feelings. And we know on the Pasuk, Lishmor et Derech Eitzachayim, Lishmor et Derech, that's Derech Eretz. And the Eitzachayim, that is Torah. Before a person can be able to learn Torah, Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. And Rav Wolbe likens it to before a person wants to buy, let's say he brings the example of Tapuchei Adama, potatoes. You need to have a basket to put the potatoes in. Likewise in Ruchnias, without the appropriate vessel, you're not going to be able to lafnim, to make part of yourself, to be able to acquire Ruchnias. Torah tzricha kli. Torah needs a vessel. Vakli, double underlined in 3, shebo koni mecha Torah hi derech eretz. The kli that we are there to acquire Torah is derech eretz, which Rav Wolbe explains is that, is knowledge. It means to be a person. Shekodem kol in 4, tzarich liyot ish, v'lalachet achrei tzivui asecha. First and foremost, you have to be a man, you have to be a person. You have to know logically, this is appropriate to do, this is not appropriate to do. Once you have been acting like a man, this is how I talk, this is how I act, this is how I interact. Once you have down the Derech Eretz, then you can begin sitting and learning Torah, which he calls Ma'al L'Tefa, above and beyond this natural world. But first and foremost, you can't skip over this part of being a mensch. The Torah emphasizes this for us. There are many halachos that are just hinted at with one word, with an extra letter. But 63 psukim that have to do with the story of Eliezer is the Torah is clearly telling us. You want to know what the focus of the Torah is? It's the Olam HaMaisa. It's a world of menschlichkeit. It's a world of how to act like a person. And then, once you've been able to master that, the 7 weeks of working on our midos between Pesach and Shavuos, then you can have a Maman Har Sinai, then you can have a Matan Torah. I'd like to take a look in 1A and 1B at two different approaches of what are the midos that we learn from our parasha. There are some obvious ones, and I want to try to stay away from the obvious ones. Chesed and her zrizos and her alacrity, those are obvious. I'd like to try to take a look at some parts that are a little bit less obvious. 1A is going to be exclusively B'yam Derech, Rav Lugassi, and 1B will be a compilation of a number of sources. In a very long essay that I just try to take out the major parts, Rav Lugassi points out, heavily based on Rav Chaskel Levenstein, where he says that Ilu Sipur Eliezer, source 5, Eved Avraham, Sheyesh Barbei Limud L'tikun Amidos, Vile Anvunato, Lemunato Hashlema. Rav Lugassi points out that the key in this parsha is the key of anivus, of humility, because it's through this midah of anivus, which we know is part of the ladder of that the Ramchal bases his Mesil Sisharim on. It's through emuna, notes Rav Lugassi, that a person can come to a level of emuna, which we know is the basis of what Torah is about. Chavakuk Hanavik V'Tzadik Beben Raso Yichya. How do we access emuna, our relationship, our belief in Hashem? It has to be through a nivus to humility. Where do we see this midah in the in Eliezer, in Rivka? How do we see it transferring itself to emuna? So he notes in source number 6. We see this first and foremost in the way that Eliezer introduces himself. We know that Eliezer, according to the Medrash, looked, had a resemblance to Avraham Avinu. Eliezer is coming with 10 camels, the chol tuv adonav, with tremendous amount of wealth. People could have easily mistaken him for Avraham Avinu himself and given him that glory, that honor. Immediately, the chazina in the middle of 6, where it's underlined, Shemiyadim ba'ol l'charan, as soon as he comes to Haran, he gdim va'amar, the first, when he comes out of his mouth, when he meets people, he says, Eved Avraham Anochi, don't for a minute assume I'm somebody else. I am the Eved of Avraham, I am the servant. And throughout the parsha, over and over again, he defines himself as the Eved, that people should not praise him for something he's not. And he notes here, he says, V'arei b'amiras eved b'zayon gadol la'adam. V'lo tzrach Eliezer klal amirazu. Usually you call yourself a servant, that's a b'zayon. That's putting yourself down. And he didn't need to do it. No one asked him for his, you know, ID. He could have said, you know, I'm on a shlichus, I'm on a mission. But he doesn't. He doesn't stop from saying this in order that for not for a moment people should give him praise, which is undeserving. You know, it reminds me of when I learned this piece, which for many of us have been in a situation. Let's say you're at a very fancy party at a friend's house, so it's this gorgeous house, you know, and a person comes to the door who doesn't know you, doesn't know the hostess, and if, you know, it could be a fundraiser, it could be whatever it is, and you open the door, and the person comes in, and they're like, wow. And they turn to you thinking you're the hostess, and they say, wow, what a beautiful home you have. What exquisite taste. Some of us, okay, let's be honest. Some of us will just say, thank you. Thank you very much. Please come in, help yourself. Let's play hostess for a while. It feels good. If they figure it out, if they don't figure it out, you'll probably never meet them again. Why? Because for that one moment, why not feel like you're the hostess of this beautiful party? That's a teva ha'adam. Eliezer in his anivos does not for a moment say, I am who I'm really not. Rav Lugassi translates this also in source 7. He says, when people give over divrei Torah, so he says you also see this as well. At least the non-Balgaivaniks, the less haughty people, will mention the source where they get an idea from if they read it from a sefer. Some people, you know, they're off the charts who give over an idea. People say, wow, that was so brilliant. And they never said, oh, yeah, I read it in a book, right? Let it feel good, right? Those people we're not even talking about. But he notes in B'yam Derech, he says, people have a habit of giving over a Dvar Torah and then letting other people really feel like, wow, and taking it in. And then, as an afterthought, you say, oh, by the way, I read it in such and such sefer. He said, a person with anivos will begin by saying, I'd like to share a Dvar Torah. I read it in this book. It's for the following person. Let me share it with you. So that not for a moment do people have this impression that a person is somebody who they're not. And my friends, this is such an important midah for our life. Hence one of the reasons of the sheer mindful midos. This is where it's at. It's that small sensitivity where you do not even for a moment allow a person to have a misconception about who and what you are. This is what we learn from Eliezer, who clearly learned it from Avraham Avinu, about whom it is said, V'anochi afar v'efer, I'm a nothing. These are the midos that Eliezer learned. And he continues by saying, in source number 8, that throughout this section, Eliezer calls Abraham his master over and over again, emphasizing he's the servant and Abraham is the master. And notes Rav Lugassi, a person who's able to see that they are the servant and that they are working for somebody else, is then able to translate that idea into bitachon, into Hashem. And that is why he is so sure that in his tefillah of asking for the appropriate wife, Hashem is going to listen to him. And he also understands that if you have, and this is the end of 9, v'anava v'idbat l'tzu, hi shevito lemuna kol kach pshuta mushlamet. When you have this ability to have anivos, humility, which leads to bittul, the world isn't around me. The world is not focused as the center, as the epicenter around me and my need. Yes, I know you're thinking a person has to say b'shvili nivra'olam. Correct. But in a healthy type of way, not in a balgaivitik type of way, not in that every need of yours has to be met and met right now. If a person has bittul and recognizes there are other people's needs, there's people who are better and greater than myself, and I'm able to defer to these people, then you're able to defer to Kodesh Baruch Hu, and then you're able to have Amuna. And he says this in source number 10. Ki oto midah kolelet hakol, v'chol sheino machni atzmo bifnei zulato, u'mitpa'er b'ma she'ein bo. If a person isn't able to have hachna, humility, in front of somebody else, if a person always has to lord it over other people, then af klepe kuchabrichu eino nichna umehader b'masha einbo. Then it's going to be very hard, if not impossible, for the person to show humility in front of Hashem, and will also try to feel like they are someone who they're not. And such people, v'lachein ein shofim litalok v'latakena maseihem, mipnei shesfarim shakol bam. These people will never be on a growth-oriented path because they think they're there already. A person recognizes their place. They recognize how much they have to grow. They recognize how much they have to develop. And that they're just the Eved. They're just a servant. And there's a whole world out there. That hachna, that humility will lead a person to the ability to be able to make a Kodesh Baruch Hu their Adon, their master over them, and be able to live with a semuna pshuta that Hashem is running their life. With this we can explain in source number 11. Why is it that Eliezer B'davka looks, our second question, for the Midah of Chesed? V'apiyam uvuar la'ayil yitbayar ha'inyan he'teit. Shekein ha'shalem b'midah fa'chesed, the asterisk in 11. One who exemplifies this Midah of Chesed, v'atava in giving labrios to others, be'hechreach she'yesh bo midah fa'anava. One who does chesed appropriately and fully has within them this nida of anivus, of humility. And you see this by Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu goes out and prepares the food for these three orchim. He doesn't say, this is beneath my dignity. And then what does he do? He stands and he serves them. A person who has a desire to give, and give everyone the proper tongue for them, and a delicacy for them, and be able to serve their every need. Such a person who has this full quality of chesed, has within this quality what Eliezer is really looking for, the midah of anivos, the midah of humility, which leads to emuna, a relationship with Hashem. How does Eliezer test if Rivka Imenu has the midah of anivos? By testing her midah of chesed. How do you see this? So he explains in source 12. When Eliezer asks her for something to drink, and she offers him and his camels, keep in mind, as we mentioned, Eliezer is coming with a whole entourage. I don't care how old Rivka is. You want to tell me she's 3, you want to tell me she's 14, which other mafarshim say, I don't care. When a young woman is standing by the well, okay, she's nice, she gives him to drink. There are all these servants. She could easily say to Eliezer, look, my dear, sir, you're a total stranger. You asked me for a cup of water, I'll be more than happy to give it to you. You want me to feed all these 10 animals? I was reading in one of the Sfarim that in one of these army bases, they used to have a camel in the Sinai Desert campaign. They used to have a camel that used to come once a day for them to give them water. They said, you don't know how much one camel drinks. It was like shocking. This is 10 camels. Do you know how much she had to, and again, she had to draw. It didn't come up for the camel. She could say, hello, bring me some of your fellows, bring me some of your servants, help me out. But she doesn't do that. That's a midah vanifus. That's not about, you know, you're stepping on my pride, you're stepping on my turf. No, it's about what can I do for another person. When Eliezer sees not only how she gives it, not only that she gives it, but how she gives it, and she gives it b'mehirus, b'zrizus, he sees here that she has the shleimus of chesed, and with that, obviously, the shleimus of anivus. This is a person who likes to give and give and give. And as Lugasi notes in Source 13, a person who's always a giving type of person, when they do take, they're asir todah mamash. When they do take, they are so grateful for the person who's given to them that they know how to show the proper hakaras hatov. And likewise, this is a person who, when they do receive from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they know how to show gratefulness and thankfulness for everything they have gotten. And here at the end of this essay, Rav Lugasi asks, he says, how do we, in our own personal lives, how do we integrate within our own lives, how do we work on this midah of anivus? So the first suggestion that he mentions, he says clearly, in 14, kidei lerchosh midah tova, in order to get any good midah, you should first work on the outer positive action. And we know, famous Sefer Chinuch, that Adam is Nifo, a person is affected by the actions that they do. So the more actions that you do, the more it's going to have an effect on the internal psyche of the person. We know the Gerd HaRamban tells us what are some of the midos ha'nova, how you should act. Shashrei mi shizochel kaiman, he says, for example, Roshcha ye kafuf, your head should be down. Ve'necha yavitu lamata la'aretz, your eyes should be focused downward. Ve'libcha lamala, your heart upward. Ve'al tabi b'fnei adam b'darcha imo, don't like stare at a person when they're speaking to you. Show some humility. Speak softly and nicely to every person. Have busha, shame by every person. If a person calls you by name, don't respond with a loud voice. But softly, like you're standing in front of your Rebbe. So that's some approach. And, you know, a person should obviously learn the Gerd HaRamban and practice the Gerd HaRamban. By going through these outer postures, yes, they have an impact, hopefully, over time, on a person internally. But he says, it's interesting, Rav Lugasi in 15, Hanagot elu rechokim itanu v'kashem o l'kayimam. In our door, it's even hard to follow the Gerd HaRamban. That's how far we've fallen. V'lachein arotze l'kayimam nireh sheyatchil l'fachot l'yizdarez v'bet ha'pratim shizkarnu. So he says, Rav Lugasi notes, I would first begin with two primary steps even before getting to the Gerd HaRamban. And the first is lechayech v'lahayir panim. The first is to smile at people and to have a haras panim, a shining of a face. V'kishincha meir panim mishveot ata b'zeh atzvacha l'chavercha. And do it in such a way that you're not lording over your friend, but you're like really engaging your friend on the same level. That you're really on the same level as him. Give a shalom aleichem to every person. Not like in a way like, you know, you're beneath my dignity, but yet I will stoop down to acknowledge your lowly presence. No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a haras panim. We're talking about really saying L'shalom Aleichem to make every person feel good. I'd like to share with you an experience I just had a number of hours ago, where I will say honestly, it was really the first time in my life that I really understood Haras Panim, that I really understood what it means, how a haras panim, how can make such a difference, and what it means to give a haras panim. As I mentioned this week, today, Kaf Aleph Bar Cheshvan is the bat mitzvah of our oldest, of Rachel. So we had the schus this morning of going vasikin to Bnei Brak, to the minion of Rav Kanievsky and his rebbetzin. And after davening, mamish from all Am Yisrael, all different types and stripes, come over to the rebbetzin for brachos. And the smile and the love and the attention, whether it was a 3 or 4 year old girl, whether it's a grandmother, whether it's for every bracha imaginable, for a shidduch, for parnasa, for children, for an easy birth, for refuah, everything comes her way. But every person giving them like they are the center of the world, a large smile, a warm handshake, wow. And I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you, personality of myself, it's not necessarily a good midah. It's hard for me to really be touched, like, wow. This morning I would say with, like, you know, the top 5 highlights of my life, where, and I've heard this from my friends who brought their daughters on their day of their bat mitzvah, and each one tells the exact same story. This is her personality. She told us, you know, follow her to her house. She wants to give Rachel a sefer for her bat mitzvah. She went into her study and wrote in an inscription, and then her gabbait called us in, and she read the inscription as if she's giving over, you know, like Miss America here. That's how you felt. Like you are joining Klal Yisrael. You are the most special individual in the world. And all the gabayim, the people standing around, are answering amen and mazel tov. You, mamish, I'm telling you, you felt like you won. Lahavdil elef alfei hevdalos, the Miss America. She gave Rachel a kiss, gave me a warm handshake, and parbei nachat, a bracha. That's our responding. This is one of the greatest, if not the greatest, rebbetzin in the world. Treating every single person, pshutayam, simple people like ourselves, with kavod, with haracha, with honor. My friends, there was a lot to learn. There's a lot to learn. But it's amazing. That's what you need to do. That every single person matters. Every single person is chashuv. When you have the ability to give over that warmth, that smile, okay, we build great rebbetzins, I grant you that. But it's something to aspire toward, where nobody is beneath you. Everybody is on your level, even though the power, the distance between us is Shemayim Varetz. The second on Haggah, he says, is l'shabech v'lahalel et hasheni, to praise another person, and not in a way that, you know, making them feel like, you know, I'm doing you a favor, that I'm giving you a praise, but no. Ashrecha zachita lechaven lehemes. Wow, what a gewaltig word that you have. Zachita lechaven lekom ploni. Amarta dvar chochma. All of these types of shevach, of these types of praise. What does it take for us to say, wow, that was a great word. Wow, that was a great insight. Wow, that was tremendous. All of these things. Making another person feel good is a way of us creating a nivus, humility, where I'm able to recognize the goodness of others. Lugasi points out in Source 16 that we who live at the time of Ikvasa de Mashiach, Hashem causes us tremendous amount of challenges in life in order for us to recognize Me'anu, Machayenu, who are we? Where are we at that we should have this shiftless? A little bit we have a sense in today's world, a little bit as permeated in the Western society and within the Jewish world as well, we're invincible. No, Kadosh Baruch Hu and the economic crisis and lo aleinu, all the challenges that we have day after day. Ma kocheinu, ma gvurateinu, ma chochmateinu. Ubekach navo lavin shein lano milishein elavinish b'shamayim. What the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants from us is humility. if we're going to walk around thinking we're God's gift to the world, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu unfortunately is going to have to put us in our place to recognize that we are just a kli, we're just a vehicle of service of Hashem. We need to know our place, anivos. This level of 1A that we have, the story repeated over and over again, to show us the humility that Eliezer is never called by his name, he's always called by Eved, 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 Eved. What it means to be an Eved, the Sicha of Avdei Avos, is even more beautiful than the Torah of the Bani. To be an Eved is, wow, what a level. On this 1A, we can appreciate what the Lekach V'Libur V'Amar Levi Shur Shlita points out, that why was it necessary for the water, what is the Torah teaching us by the miracle of the water coming up? That only for herself did it come up. But when she was involved in the mitzvah performance to feed all of the animals, she had to draw the water herself. And we learn from here, says Lekach V'Libur, based on the Kedushas Levi, that when a person does a mitzvah, it's better that the mitzvah should be done with a lot of ishtadlus and yegia for the mitzvah. And this is what the Zohar Kadosh points out in 28. Ki avur mitzvah tzrichim l'shalem b'kesef u'b'yegia. A mitzvah is going to cost us. It's going to take energy out of us. And that is why when she went to do this chesed, the water did not come to greet her. And he points out in 20b, u'b'sefer Noam Eliezer, he says, Shelachem heitik varav, he says, this is a great hitchaskut gadol adam. Because sometimes when a person comes to do a mitzvah, and he finds a lot of menials, he finds a lot of things getting in his way, a person may think, oh, that's a simon, that's a sign, that's not a good thing that I'm doing. Because every step of the way, my car's breaking down, I can't get into the building, I can't find my cell phone, I can't call the person. No. Yeda ki lo kenu, rak adraba davar toba daika ide shiva vigia. And this is part of what the anivus is about. When we do a mitzvah, we shouldn't think, ha, I'm doing a mitzvah. Because I'm doing a mitzvah, I'm so great that everything's going to come easy to me. It's going to be chik-chak. No. Anivus is about, if I'm going to do a mitzvah, it's going to mean that I'm going to have to struggle in this mitzvah. And it's going to be difficult. And I'm going to have challenges come my way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is showing me through those challenges not to give up, but to recognize that the water is going to have to be drawn by myself, even though I'm used to it coming easy. But when you're doing a chesed, recognize that part of the chesed is this anivus, is this humility, that it's going to be difficult, it's going to be challenging, but I'm not giving up. So that when we are involved in mitzvah observance and we have struggles and challenges, don't automatically throw in the towel and say, that's a siman not to do it, but rather to pursue further and recognize it's the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's way of saying, putting you in your place, don't walk around, that's a strutting peacock, look how great you are, but really recognizing the effort that needs to go into a mitzvah. Moving a little bit quicker here, in 1B, the Mikdash HaLevi, from Diane from London, notes here, other midos that we learn. If we focused on 1A, on Eliezer, on the Eved Avraham, and the Anivos, 1B I'd like to focus on Rivka Imenu on a number of levels. The first Ha'ara that he makes, which is very fascinating, he says if you're Medayik, and this is 25 and 26, I'll do outside, but appreciating it from the text itself. If you take a look in Source 24A, in verse 18 she said, drink my Lord. And quickly she lowered her jug to her hand and gave him to drink. Verse 19, when she finished giving him drink, she said, I will draw water even for your camels until they have finished drinking. And that's exactly what she did. When the story is repeated over again and Eliezer tells his account of it, 24b, he says, she hurried and lowered her jug from upon herself and said, drink, and I will even water your camels. So I drank, and she watered the camels also. Notes of Mikdash Shalevi, you have to recognize that when the Torah repeats something, it's to teach you a lesson. And here we learn that Eliezer, as great as he was not from shame. He was from Canaan, who was cursed, and didn't have the sensitivity that Rivka Imenu had. Rivka Imenu does not in the same breath put him and the animals together. She waits till he finishes drinking, then she suggests, would you like your camels to drink? When he repeats it over in the same pasuk, in the same breath. She asks me to drink and my camels to drink. Lesson number one, sensitivity number one, is when we're talking about the Kedusha Sadibur, the way a Jew speaks is with a sensitivity that a person and an animal are not the same, and we don't put them into the same level, into the same sentence. There's a way that a Jew speaks, that's a sensitivity that we learn from this parsha. The second thing, the next page, we pisofrim v'sfarim. He notes in source 27, our question, this is from Mudgets. He says, Divrei Yisrael asks, how do we know just by our second question, the chesed, that this is enough? So he says, that's why Eliezer uses, and this is the end of 27, Vehaya hanahara, and it will be the woman. Ein vehaya elaloshom simcha. We know the word vahaya throughout Chumash is a language of joy. Ki kishireshi gomelet chesed mitov simcha, as yesh bekach devar miuchat. He wasn't only looking for chesed, he was looking for how she gave the chesed. If she had this mitzvah of simcha, she has all the qualities. How is this so? So in his footnote in the bottom, in 28a, he points out, from Rav Yaakov Aron, the Avos Gemilah of Alexander, where he says, according to Baal HaKedah, Shebiyurtze Adam Ladad Im Nafsho Tara Hi Im La. If you ever wanted to know where your soul was holding, you know, like there's scales for physical weight. If you ever wanted a scale for your spiritual self, here goes. Ubaduk Im Ye Yivdok Im Ye Shlo Cheshek L'Kayem HaMitzvot. Ask yourself one question. Do you have a cheshek, a desire, a passion, a drive to do mitzvos? Ki kasher neshama mizukeket, yesh cheshek v'rotzo bilavu l'kayem mitzvot Hashem, bava. When your soul is purified, there's a burning passion to do the will of Hashem. And he gives you a mashal. He says, and it's a great mashal. If a person's sick, let's say you have a cold or the flu, right? I was going to say the Indian flu, the Mexican flu. So you can give the most delicious meal that at any ordinary time the person would love, the most tasty meal. What does the person say? Oh, I just have no appetite. Because when a person is sick, they don't even have appetite for their favorite food. And the same thing holds for your neshama. If your neshama is healthy, it's going to have an appetite to do mitzvot. If your neshama is not healthy, it's not going to have an appetite. What was the quality that Eliezer was looking for? It was the quality of simcha, v'haya nara. How did she do the chesed? With her zrizos, with her alacrity, with her love, with her passion. That shows a healthy neshama. That shows an Ein Yisrael, person who could be one of the imahos. I'd just like to add another component of Rivka Imenu. If we have here her sensitivity and dibur that we learn from the repetition of the section, if we also learn from this section in all its details, the joy, the simcha that Rivka expresses, the Nadi Techa, this is a little bit more complicated linguistically, but we'll just highlight here, 29 to 33, Rav Wilson Shlita points out that what impresses Rivka here, the quality that we see from these 63 psukim, is how she had a spiritual drive, how her cheshek, her passion, was for spirituality and not for beautiful physical things. And he notes this by saying that when she saw this Evet and how he was connected to Hashem and bowing down, and the Torah Levava, the purity of her soul, was drawn to this. And that's why when she goes and repeats over to her family in Source 30, Vatageh li'ima kadvarim ha'ela, that an unklus translates the hainu shitzipra hadvarim shamar ha'ish. She told over all the things the man said. What things? The hainu, the divrei tfilosav odasav, how he was nichna in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kadvari ma'ele b'chafati mayon. She went over with such passion and enthusiasm all the words, all the movements that the Eva did. She told her mother, wow, there was a man here, and the way he chav, and the way he bowed, and the way he was connected to Hashem, that's what really did it for her. What doesn't do it for her? We know that Eliezer gave her tachshiti. He gave her a nose ring, gave her a bracelet, and Rashi points out how they have our merumah, since the whole seer from itself, maybe another year, mir tashem, to the seer of Dibro, and to the shkolim, machzi tashekel. She doesn't go and show them. And the way that he learns this out, so Gemara in Shabbos talks about, can women go out without an Eruv with fancy jewelry? I'm not getting into the halachos here, but the Gemara speaks about how women, generally, when they have a fancy piece of jewelry, will do what? They'll take it off. Here, let me show you. And that may be a problem on Shabbos. It is a problem on Shabbos that you may be carrying when there's no Eruv, because a woman likes to show her jewelry to others. And if you take a look, the pasuk says in 31, Vayhi kirot et hanesem vet tatzmidim al yedei achoto, on the hands of her sister. Bidei achoto en ktiv kan ela al yedei achoto. It's not in her hands that she takes it out and says, here, look at it. It was on her hand. It wasn't important. They saw it on her hand. But she's not saying, wow, look what I got. Everyone see what I got? That wasn't what was important to her. It was the ruchnius that was important to her. And this is why you see that he speaks about in source 32b that obviously this jewelry coming from the house of Avraham Avinu had such kedusha in it, which Rivka felt that she didn't want to part from it. He describes here, he says in 32b, it's like a Yirei Hashem who can't take off their towels and tefillin after davening, because how can they separate from something so beloved? A more parallel for women would be, let's say, to light the Friday night candles. How can you leave them? You just lit them. You're drawn to them. You stay by them for a while. Something of Kedusha you want to attach yourself to. And that's why when Eliezer sees, gives the jewelry, it's written Smidim with a Yud. But when Lavan sees it, it's written without the Yud. Lavan doesn't see the Eser HaDibrot. He only sees the jewelry. Rivka understood the beauty and the greatness of what was given to her. And that is why, and the title here is missing, the Sefer in 34 on top is Ha'aros from Zundel Epstein. He notes that this is a deeper pshat. And what does it mean that the waters came up to Rivka Imenu? He has a beautiful word here in source 34 and 35, that every physical object has a time and a place. When it says Vatal, and literally it went up, yes, the waters went up, but Eliezer saw with his spiritual eyes something else. He saw that the waters had an Aliyah, that the waters felt like were dancing when they came to Rivka Imenu. That like, just like the Pasuk speaks about, Vat Yokam HaSadeh, and the field was literally acquired by Avraham Avinu. There was a Tekuma. There was something that you could, with your spiritual vision, see different in the Ma'ara, in the field, when it was acquired by Maris Machpelah. Eliezer saw that the waters were like, were able to have this like Kedusha magnetic pull. So yes, they physically went up to her, but it was much deeper than that. And that's why he says, Hatik Nakadeh, just lower your kai. The anivus of Eliezer, he was afraid that if he would actually take the cup in his hand, they would lose that special kedusha, those waters. He says he's not worthy. And that's why he doesn't have to test her in anything else. A woman who the waters take on, this something so physical, take on a spiritual aspect to them. A woman who's able to appreciate that I'm not taking off this jewelry because I feel the kedusha inherent in them, is a woman who's worthy to be one of the imahos. Again, my friends, you and I look at water as water as water. But a person with spiritual eyes understands, just like a scientist is able to see at a microscope the molecules spiritual scientist is able to see the spiritual molecules rising as well. And in a later vort in this parasha, Rav Epstein points out in a very beautiful piece that when Rivka Imenu comes back to the tent, all those beautiful things that were found in the tent, the Chala La'isa, the Nerdolok Shabbos, Terev Shabbos, they return. And in this essay he speaks about that by us, we light candles Friday night, we bring in the Neshama Yisera, the extra soul. But what happens to this extra soul? It leaves Motzei Shabbos. Rachel Imenu, sorry, Imenu, by having a Nerdolok Merev Shabbos, Terev Shabbos, means that her Neshama Yisera never left her all week. And then when the next Shabbos comes in, she's rising on a higher level. And then the next week, even a higher level. And each week, higher and higher and higher. Chayei Sarah, 120 years of growth, week after week. And he says so too with Rivka Imenu. She had that same quality. It's a quality of appreciating Kedusha in all aspects of your life. And being able to take and build one upon the other, till you achieve a full lifetime of greatness. Let's summarize what we've seen till now, and we'll end with level number two. Why Yafes Yichasam Shalav De'Avos, even greater to be Tarasam Shalbanim? It's very simple. It's teaching us about the quality trait of Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. That's fundamental. Eliezer, Anivus, the humility, the Eved Avraham, that Anivus is going to lead to Amuna. This is the quality that Rivka Imenu has as well. That's why chesed is enough to test her in, because this chesed is a sign of her anivus, her humility, which is a sign of emunah. The second aspect is that this is teaching us the quality traits of Rivka Imenu, which are incredible. Her speech, how careful she's not to link man and animal. It's talking about the greatness of Rivka Imenu in terms of appreciating not the jewelry and the physical aspects, but the spiritual aspect of what the man did and what the man said, how the waters themselves were able to have a kima coming up. When she has this aspect of simcha, of this joy, then you know that she's healthy spiritually and everything else is in place. We learn about the medrash of the waters, that even when it's difficult, don't give up. That's part of the process of anivos, part of the process of humility to recognize. Hashem wants us to work at it. You have to draw the waters yourself. Or the waters themselves had a kima. They acquired higher levels with Rivka Imenu. And this is how sensitive we have to be to the physical things around us, of spiritual molecules that are looking to find a spiritual avenue. The second level, which is totally different, which is really a topic in its own right, which deserves more than the 10 minutes I'm going to give to it, is the way Nei Yisrael Rebelsky himself answers it. Starting with 40b, he speaks about marriage is unlike other mitzvahs. Despite the natural desire to marry the ideal person, the proper fulfillment of this mitzvah is beset with many complications and requires much thought and preparation. And this is what Shlomo HaMelech is speaking about. You can't find the perfect woman. The goal is to find a woman who will complement the qualities of her husband. Moving up to 39b, before embarking upon any endeavor, and especially when establishing a proper Jewish home, a person must make a careful accounting of himself. He must analyze his strengths and weaknesses and discover which level of spiritual development he's presently holding, which aspects of Avodas Hashem called him, and which he needs to work on. And that is why, says Rav Belsky, before, right, you walk into any shidduch situation, you need to know very clearly who you are and what you're looking for. If you don't know what criteria you have in mind, you're obviously going to set yourself for failure. Explains Rav Belsky, why do we have this section repeated four times? Is to teach us the necessity of knowing the chassan and his qualities, the kala and her qualities, and seeing whether they are matim for each other. And that's why his tefillah to Ribono Shel Olam as the girls came 41 out to draw water reflected his keen awareness of Yitzchak Avinu's personality and the key traits that his future wife had to possess. In essence, Eliezer's prayer reveals to us Yitzchak's own qualities, by describing the qualities that would be compatible with him. On this basis, Eliezer understood that Rivka had to possess both righteousness and kindness. And when he finished his prayer and she appeared, we see how he scrutinized Rivka, and it became clear that this was indeed the girl that Hashem intended for Yitzchak. These were the qualities that the chassid needed, that the kala had. But then, 43, the bride must also go through a similar process of observation and assessment before deciding whether or not the shidduch is appropriate. This is the significance of the twofold repetition of the story before Lavan and Bethuel. Rivka and her advisor had first to hear from Eliezer the type of person Yitzchak Avinu was to marry. Thus he shared with him his tefillah at the well, and then he described the events that transpired so they could determine if Rivka was indeed suited to the role she would assume in Yitzchak's life. You need to know the character traits of the chassan and in the kala in order to be able to see their suitability. And sometimes the chassan and kala need help, and that's where parents, rabbis, close teachers, friends are good choices. When it comes to marriage in 44, it is critical that all four levels of accounting be made to ensure as far as possible that the shidduch has every chance of being a success. Unfortunately, people often neglect the process of self-analysis and instead judge a potential spouse through the lens of a distorted or inaccurate self-image. And this self-defeating tendency results in untold difficulty and sorrow. I remember once having a girl who couldn't find a shidduch. I finally said to her, you know what your problem is? You're trying to be what every boy wants you to be. If you are yourself and know who you are, you'll be able to get married. Baruch Hashem, she has many children now. This is step number one. In Rabbi Fran's latest book, It's Never Enough, it's Never Too Little, It's Never Too Late, It's Never Enough, or something along those lines, he speaks about one whole chapter, the shidduch crisis. And he says that part of our problem is, he says, when we were growing up, if we wanted in 45, listen to a song on the radio, we turned the radio on and hoped that it was a song that we like. Now the kids have iPods and they have, 10,000 songs to choose from. You have air conditioning for, you know, both sides of the passenger and the driver's seat. Everything is made to perfection. Is it any wonder that people want perfection in a spouse? And we know that that is not feasible. Boys and girls in Shiduchi must be re-educated in 46 and taught they cannot seek perfection in a spouse. They must realize that they are not perfect and they cannot expect to find a perfect spouse. And if they do not realize it, then it's the job of the parents and the mechanchim to make them realize it. And once we mention parents, I think it's important for parents to take a step back. Everyone feels that their child is wonderful, that he or she deserves only the best. But realize you can damage your own offspring's prospects and inadvertently condemn your child to years of painful waiting by demanding too much. Know the strengths as well as the weaknesses, which are true for every child, and find somebody who's going to be compatible on each. Most people enter the parsha of Shiduchim with a mental list. Sometimes they even commit it to paper of what they're looking for in a spouse. That's legitimate. But some people's lists contain items that are frivolous in the best circumstance and downright moronic at worst. Bring your list down to two or three items. Each boy and girl must identify two or three primary factors and not more. Ask my friend, how do I know this? From our parsha. Avram Avinu had a child who was as close to perfection than any was around today. A masmid, a tzaddik, the father you want, money, everything. But he wanted one characteristic, and that is a balas chesed. A true balas chesed will make a great wife and mother, show patience for a family, and treat them properly. How have we evolved as a nation from Yitzchak Shidduch list to ours is beyond me. But I do know that the questions that are asked today cost many people years of happiness. If it makes a difference how the mother of the girl dresses when she lights candles on the Friday night, tichel or shadel, whether the tablecloth is covered in plastic at the Shabbos suddos, whether they use paper napkins or cloth, then we will continue to see a lot of girls and boys waiting endlessly. Does it really make a difference if a boy wears lace shoes or loafers? No! It's about addressing that we are talking about, and he says parents who are marrying off the kids who were married for 20 years know this isn't important. It's about having priorities of what is really important. And that is, first and foremost, by looking at what our list entails. I'll tell you personally, my friends, I had one item on my list. Shem Shamayim Mitahev Al Yado. That's it. Looking for one thing. When we try to look for more than one thing, or many things, and the list goes on, you know, does the grandmother have a shopping cart, you know, one of those little wheelies to go to the store that she's no good, she's too old-fashioned, bubby-like, you could just drive yourself crazy. And I work with girls in Shiduchim and get asked questions after questions. Some of them, as Rabbi Franz said, are from the bizarre to the ridiculous. Let's leave it at that. I think all of you know what I'm talking about. I don't have time to go in beyond that. This week's parasha is teaching us. You want to know where the essence of Shiduchim comes from. You want to know how to really help out a young boy or a young girl. Make sure they have clarity on who they are. And I personally have sent many young women to get Eitza with therapists, with professionals, get older single. Get to know who you are. Get to know what you're looking for. That's not always the answer. I know. It's a very painful situation. It's a very painful situation. But at least we have to, and parents of children, Shiduchim, have to be reasonable. What are our expectations? What do we want? Who are our children? Be able to have this self-examination. And that's why the Chumash repeats it over and over again. And Rabelsky ends his essay by saying that this is crucial not only for Shiduchim, the self-examination, it's crucial for all of us in our Avodas Hashem. 52, needless to say, self-analysis may be utilized for the wrong ends. Some people use the knowledge of the weaknesses to justify improper behavior. And some people are afraid of self-analysis in the end of 51. They do not wish to be exposed to the weakness, would rather live in ignorance than to confront the contradictions that lie within. But without honest self-examination, a person assures that he'll remain handicapped by his weakness. He'll never reach his full potential. It is well known that the Chafetz Chaim in the middle of 52 spent hours a day making a cheshbon ha-nefesh. Young people often cannot understand the need for such a procedure. They might think, surely the Chafetz Chaim would have written many more books had he not spent so many hours in introspection. As a person becomes older and wiser, he will come to appreciate the need for reflection. Yet he may look at his own busy life and ask, how can I find the time? It is fair to suggest that given the importance of cheshbon nefesh and accomplishing anything in life, to know yourself, your strengths, your weaknesses, the Chafetz Chaim was able to write his Sfarim precisely because he set a time to reflect. And that, my friends, I think, is the other message for this parsha. For those involved in the parsha of Shiduchim, it's very much kashur that we have to work on knowing who we are and what we're looking for realistically. But those who are right now not in that parsha or simultaneous with that parsha, what behooves all of us, and it's important to get into that groove so that we can be mechanech, our children, our grandchildren this way, it's a cheshbon nefesh to work on every night, sitting down, what have I accomplished positively today? What do I need to work on? Where could I strengthen myself? The mamish have a diary of a cheshbon nefesh. And here is our final idea in 21 to 23, moving back a few pages. Recognize that the lesson of the water coming up for Rivka, and then that she had to draw the water for the camels, is a lesson to us in our Avodas Hashem. Anytime we begin a project, the water comes up, we're really excited, this is amazing. This is from, based on the Beis Aharon, on the Lech HaFalibo. Vayar Minucha Kitov. Yes, at the beginning things are wonderful. But then you want to know what happens in life, you have to work at it. The first few nights, well, this is fun, cheshbon nefesh, what a wonderful idea. And then it becomes a drag, and then it becomes, do I have to do it? Oh, it's so hard to do. That's the lesson of Rivka Imenu. She never gives up. In the beginning, when the water is coming to her, of course it's easy to do things. But what happens when you have to draw the water over and over again for 10 camels? It's more difficult. For 10 decades, it becomes more difficult. But that's the beauty of Avodas Hashem, of never giving up hope. The messages that I hope that we try to give over today, my friends, are the messages of being able to recognize how important Derech Eretz is, how important understanding who you are is, how Eliezer had to specify in his tefillah exactly what he was looking for. To look for these items, to know what the chassan wanted, what the kala had. To repeat it over, to be able to see exactly whether the kala is on the same page as the chassan. That introspection, that being able to look inside of ourselves, to recognize the aspect that we have to, in our cheshbon nefesh, ask ourselves, do we have this midah of simcha? Do we have a taiva, a desire to do a avodas Hashem? Do we have a spiritual affinity for those things around us that the water is going to come up and connect to us? These are the questions that we have to ask ourselves. My bracha to all of us is that we're able to have the midos that we need, the haraspanim, that shining face to each and every person around us, and that we'll be matzliach doing this introspection to know who and what we are, have the anivos, the humility we need, in order to be able to have the emunah, that connection, ultimately to Kadosh Baruch Hu and his avodah.